pray about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 28, all of chapter 5. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the privilege you've given us of being able to open your word every day and hear you speak words of counsel, grace, power, wisdom, and encouragement into our minds, our hearts, and our lives. Father, more and more empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer, worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Empower us to be the praying people, the worshiping and praising people you've called us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we praise you. We lift high your name today. We're so thankful that we can come before you. We're thankful, Father, that like the psalmist, when we're afraid, we can put our trust in you. And God, we pray for our listening family with the different fears that they may have, financial fears in regards to their finances, Father, fears regard to the coronavirus or other things going on. Father, help them more and more to trust in you through your Holy Spirit, work in their lives, Father, so that they might trust in you more and more. And what a wonderful God you are, a God with broad shoulders, that we can come and place all of our problems on your shoulders, and you invite us to do that. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We'd like to encourage you to take time to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like them if you would. We'd very much appreciate that. We like to ask also that you would daily take time to pray for the ministry of the American Family Association. We very much desire your prayers. Pray for our upcoming Share-a-thon and pray for the ministry as a whole. Please pray much daily also for the ministry and the work of this particular broadcast, the Hour of Intercession. An important goal for us is that the Lord would use this on an ongoing basis to set believers' prayer lives on fire, that the Lord would reach through it to help believers to become very fruitful kingdom warriors that accomplish much in the area of prayer and intercession. So, Father, again, we thank you for every listener, Lord, and just set us on fire afresh with your Holy Spirit of prayer. Empower us more and more to be the praying church you've called us to be. Help us to be obedient, Lord, we confess. We've sinned and done wrong in many ways, Lord. We repent of our wrongs. Forgive us, Lord, and fill us anew with your Spirit, with your joy, your peace, and your grace, and use us more and more for your glory and the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up now here in the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, picking up at chapter 8, picking up at verse 29. Now the father of Gibeon, whose wife's name was Maacah, dwelt at Gibeon. And his firstborn son was Abdon, then Zer, Kish, Baal, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zechar, and Mikloth, who begot Shemaiah. They also dwelt alongside their relatives in Jerusalem with their brethren. Ner begot Kish. Kish begot Saul, and Saul begot Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. The son of Jonathan was Merib-Baal, and Merib-Baal begot Micah. The sons of Micah were Python, Melech, Tereah, and Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Jehoiada. Jehoiada begot Alameth, Azmaveth, and Zimri. And Zimri begot Moza. Moza begot Beniah, Rapha, his son, Elasa, his son, and Azel, his son. Azel had six sons, whose names were these: Azrikam, Bokeru, Ishmael, Shearai, Obadiah, and Hanan. All these were the sons of Azel. And the sons of Eshek, his brother, were Ulam, his firstborn, Jeush, the second, and Eliphelet, the third. The sons of Ulam were mighty men of valor, archers. They had many sons and grandsons, 150 in all. They were all sons of Benjamin. 1 Chronicles chapter 9. So all Israel was recorded by genealogies, and indeed, they were inscribed in the book of the kings of Israel. But Judah was carried away captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. And the first inhabitants who dwelt in their possessions in their cities were Israelites, priests, Levites, and the Nethinim. Now in Jerusalem the children of Judah dwelt, and some of the children of Benjamin, and of the children of Ephraim and Manasseh. Uthai, the son of Ammihud, the son of Omri, the son of Imri, the son of Bani, of the descendants of Perez, the son of Judah. Of the Shilonites, Asaiah, the firstborn, and his sons. Of the sons of Zerah, Jeuel and their brethren, 690. Of the sons of Benjamin, Salu, the son of Meshullam, the son of Hodaviah, the son of Hasanua, Ibneah, the son of Jeroham, Elah, the son of Uzai, the son of Mikri, Meshullam, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Reuel, the son of Ibnijah, and their brethren, according to their generations, 956. All these men were heads of a father's house in their father's houses. Of the priests, Jediah, Jehoiarib, and Jachin, Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Meshullam, the son of Zadok, the son of Merioth, the son of Ahitub, the officer over the house of God. Adiah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Pashur, the son of Malchijah. Maasai, the son of Adiel, the son of Jazera, the son of Meshullam, the son of Meshillameth, the son of Immer. And their brethren, heads of their fathers' houses, 1,760. They were very able men for the work of the service of the house of God. Of the Levites, Shemaiah, the son of Hashab, the son of Azrikam, the son of Hashabiah, of the sons of Merari, Bakbakar, Heresh, Galal, and Mataniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zikri, the son of Asaph, Obadiah, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Galal, the son of Jeduthun, and Berechiah, the son of Asa, the son of Elkanah, who lived in the villages of the Netophathites. And the gatekeepers were Shalom, Akub, Talmon, Ahiman, and their brethren. Shalom was the chief. Until then, they had been gatekeepers for the camps of the children of Levi at the king's gate on the east. Shalom, the son of Kore, the son of Ebiasaph, the son of Korah, and his brethren from his father's house, the Korahites, were in charge of the work of the service, gatekeepers of the tabernacle. Their fathers had been keepers of the entrance to the camp of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, had been the officer over them in time past. The Lord was with him. Zechariah, the son of Meshelemiah, was keeper of the door of the tabernacle of meeting. All those chosen as gatekeepers were 212. They were recorded by their genealogy in their villages. David and Samuel, the seer, had appointed them to their trusted office. So they and their children were in charge of the gates of the house of the Lord, the house of the tabernacle, by assignment. The gatekeepers were assigned to the four directions, the east, west, north, and south. And their brethren in their villages had to come with them from time to time for 7 days. For in this trusted office were four chief gatekeepers. They were Levites, and they had charge over the chambers and their treasuries of the house of God. And they lodged all around the house of God because they had the responsibility, and they were in charge of opening it every morning. Now some of them were in charge of the serving vessels, for they brought them in and took them out by count. Some of them were appointed over the furnishings and over all the implements of the sanctuary and over the fine flour and the wine and the oil and the incense and the spices. And some of the sons of the priests made the ointment of the spices. Mattathiah of the Levites, the firstborn of Shalom, the Korahite, had the trusted office over the things that were baked in the pans. And some of their brethren of the sons of the Korahites were in charge of preparing the showbread for every Sabbath. Verses 1 through 32, 1 Chronicles chapter 9. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we continue reading through the Word of God. We'll be back.
So caught up that I couldn't find a way out, find a way out. this heart of mine, it's you. It's you, Lord, it's you. Then everything else just falls in line. Forever.
Music of Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue reading through the Word of God as we pick up now in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 9, beginning at verse 28. Now some of them were in charge of the serving vessels, for they brought them in and took them out by count. Some of them were appointed over the furnishings and over all the implements of the sanctuary and over the fine flour and the wine and the oil and the incense and the spices. And some of the sons of the priests made the ointment of the spices. Mattathiah of the Levites, the firstborn of Shallum, the Korahite, had the trusted office over the things that were baked in the pans. And some of their brethren of the sons of the Korathites were in charge of preparing the showbread for every Sabbath. These are the singers, heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites, who lodged in the chambers and were free from other duties. For they were employed in that work day and night. These heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites were heads throughout their generations. They dwelt at Jerusalem. Jael, the father of Gibeon, whose wife's name was Maacah, dwelt at Gibeon. His firstborn son was Abdon, then Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, Zechariah, and Mikloth. And Mikloth begot Shimeam. They also dwelt alongside their relatives in Jerusalem with their brethren. Ner begot Kish. Kish begot Saul, and Saul begot Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. The son of Jonathan was Merabbaal, and Merabbaal begot Micah. The sons of Micah were Pithon, Melech, Tareah, and Ahaz. And Ahaz begot Jerah. Jerah begot Alameth, Asmaveth, and Zimri. And Zimri begot Moza. Moza begot Beniah, Raphiah, his son, Elasa, his son, and Azel, his son. And Azel had six sons whose names were these: Azricam, Bokeru, Ishmael, Shemariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua, Saul's sons. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died. So Saul and his three sons died, and all his house died together. And when all the men of Israel who were in the valley saw that they had fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook their cities and fled. Then the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So it happened the next day when the Philistines came to strip the slain that they found Saul and his sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. And they stripped him and took his head and his armor and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news in the temple of their idols and among the people. Then they put his armor in the temple of their gods and fastened his head in the temple of Dagon. And when all Jabesh-Gilead heard all that the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons, and they brought them to Jabesh and buried their bones under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Then all Israel came together to David at Hebron, saying, "Indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also, in time past, even when Saul was king, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord your God said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over my people Israel.' Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. And David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus, where the Jebusites were the inhabitants of the land. But the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, 'You shall not come in here.' Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. Now David said, 'Whoever attacks the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain.' And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went up first and became chief. Then David dwelt in the stronghold. Therefore they called it the City of David. And he built the city around it, from the Milo to the surrounding area. Joab repaired the rest of the city. So David went on and became great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. Now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men whom David had: Jashobeam, the son of a Hachmonite, chief of the captains. He had lifted up his spear against 300, killed him at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pasdamim. Now there the Philistines were gathered for battle, and there was a piece of ground full of barley. So the people fled from the Philistines. But they stationed themselves in the middle of that field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Now 3 of the 30 chief men went down to the rock to David, into the cave of Adullam. And the army of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So the three broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me, O my God, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who have put their lives in jeopardy? For at the risk of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. These things were done by the three mighty men." Abishai, the brother of Joab, was chief of another three. He had lifted up his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Of the three, he was more honored than the other two men. Therefore, he became their captain. However, he did not attain to the first three. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a man of great height, 5 cubits tall. In the Egyptian's hand there was a spear like a weaver's beam. And he went down to him with a staff, wrested the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did, and won a name among three mighty men. Indeed, he was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three. And David appointed him over his guard. Also the mighty warriors were Asahel, the brother of Joab, Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shamoth the Hararite, Helez the Pelonite, Ira the son of Ekesh, the Tekoite, Abiezer the Anathothite, Sebekai the Hushathite, Eli the Ahohite, Maharai the Netophathite, Heled the son of Baanah the Netophathite, Ittai the son of Ribai of Gibeah, the sons of Benjamin, Benaiah the Pirathonite, Hurai of the brooks of Gaash, Abiel the Arbathite, Asmaveth the Barumite, Eliaba the Shealbanite, the sons of Hashem the Gizonite, Jonathan the son of Shegei the Hararite, Ahiam the son of Sakar the Hararite, Eliphal the son of Ur, Hefer the Makarathite, Ahijah the Pelonite, Hezro the Carmelite, Neari the son of Ezbai, Joel the brother of Nathan, Mibhar the son of Hagri, Zelek the Ammonite, Naharai the Berathite, the armor bearer of Joab the son of Zeruiah, Ira the Ithrite, Gareb the Ithrite, Uriah the Hittite, Zabad the son of Elah, the son of Eli, Adina the son of Shizai, the Reubenite, a chief of the Reubenites, and 30 with him, Hanan the son of Maacah, Joshaphat the Mithnite, Uzziah the Ashtarothite, Shema and Jael the sons of Hotham the Ararite, Jediel the son of Shimri, and Joha his brother, the Terzite, Eliel the Mahavite, Jerubai, and Joshaviah, the sons of Elnaam, Ithma the Moabite, Eliel, Obed, and Jaasiel, the Mezobite. Chapter 12, 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Now these were the men who came to David at Ziklag, while he was still a fugitive from Saul, the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men, helpers in the war. Armed with bows, using both the right hand and the left, in hurling stones and shooting arrows with the bow. They were of Benjamin, Saul's brethren. The chief was Ahiezer, then Joash, the sons of Shemaiah, the Gibeathite, Jeziel and Pelet, the sons of Azmaveth, Barakah and Jehu, the Anathothite, Ishmaiah, the Gibeonite, a mighty man among the 30 and over the 30. Verses 1 through 3, 1 Chronicles chapter 12. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we continue reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. Music of the group Mosaic, the song Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue reading in the New Testament through the Word of God. We pick up now the book of James, James chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat then it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. James chapter 2. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, "You sit here in a good place," and say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James chapter 3. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. End of James chapter 3. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've continued reading through the Word of God on an ongoing basis. Our encouragement to you is that if you don't already have the habit of reading three chapters in your Bible every day, today is an excellent day to start that habit. Remember, reading God's Word ministers to your mind, body, and spirit, and nothing will bless, strengthen, and encourage you like God's Word. And parents, we'd like to encourage you, parents and grandparents, to have children and grandchildren to read three chapters a day out loud as well. Again, when children are reading the Word of God, they're planting God's precious Word into their minds and their hearts. Nothing will bless our children like the precious and powerful Word of God as well. Well, as usual in the last few moments of our broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we'd like to invite you to make that all-important step of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior of your life. In all of life, the most important decision we can make is that of accepting Christ into our heart as Lord and Savior. Would you pray this prayer with us? Or if you wish to pray it as a rededication prayer, we invite you to pray with us as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me so, so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways, Lord. By faith, I repent of the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, right now, I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me all that you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me and saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please do email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to email to you some resources that'll help you, a spiritual growth resource that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Or if you're simply wanting some of the prayer and discipleship materials we provide, we're glad to share them with you. Again, same email. Simply email us at jparker@afa.net. We'll be glad to send them to you as well. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you listening and being part of our listening family. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.